Now turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, we'll be reading responsively verses 6 through 9, page 1247 in your Scofield Bible. Verses 6 through 9. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And the ninth verse there being the text verse for this morning's message. Let's pray. Father, what a wonderful, wonderful book you've given us. Thank you that faithful men through the ages have dared to proclaim it, even die for it, and you've preserved it to this hour. And so it's a very holy and sanctified thing that we do in reading your word and in hearing it preached. Help us to realize the gravity of it. Help us to listen carefully, spiritually, and help our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to read for you without your turning to it, my text this morning. We read the Bible so glibly, and we just look at the surface of it and do not realize oftentimes what it teaches. Probably no verse in the Bible is more misunderstood than the one I'm going to use this morning. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I remember that Mr. McGeorge, sort of a delightful but a hillbilly kind of a guy in Texas, recording scriptures, our favorite verses, and he said, my favorite one is, let us not be weary in well-digging, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. He came as close to it as the rest of us do. Let us not be weary in well-doing. I want to teach it to you this morning, and I'll show you that it does not mean what you think it means, and I'll teach you what it means. I hope you'll listen carefully. Father, bless me as I speak and my people as they hear. May this morning we speak as into eternity. Do our best to listen aright and speak aright. I believe I prepared it right, and I pray you to help me to be what the dear people need, please. Amen. The text verse says, let us be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now the usual interpretation of that is simply this. Don't get tired of doing good. Because if you keep on doing good, one of these days, you're going to reap if you don't stop, quit. Now, I don't think that's a bad lesson. I think that's true. You should not be weary in doing right, doing good deeds and good works. For if you keep on doing them, one of these days, you're going to reap if you don't faint. Now, that doesn't bother me, but that's not what this verse basically teaches. Let me show you what it really says. First it says, be not weary. Be not weary. Now that word weary there is not the word don't be tired. It doesn't mean when you get tired, keep on going. It's a different word than the word we'd call be not tired. Let me paraphrase it. Don't lose heart in well-doing. Or don't lose your edge in well-doing. Or, don't lose your excitement in well-doing. Or, don't get used to it, well-doing. Or, don't lose your interest in well-doing. Or, don't lose your thrill in well-doing. The word is, the words, be not weary mean we're not supposed to lose the edge. That's the best thing. You've heard people say, he's lost his edge. A basketball player or a football player. Look at me now. Close your Bibles. Look at me. I want you to listen to me now and listen carefully. Don't lose your edge. Don't lose your excitement. Don't lose your thrill. Now then, let's go on. Don't be weary or be not weary in well-doing. Now I want you to listen carefully. Well there is an adverb that modifies the word doing. So don't be weary in doing things well. That's what the Bible teaches here. It teaches us don't lose your edge of doing what you do as best you can. Well doing here is not good deeds. The word doing may be the word for good deeds, but well modifies the word doing. So what God is saying here, He's saying, do your deeds well and don't lose your edge. What He's saying is, you teach your Sunday school class, have the same edge you had the first day you ever taught a Sunday school class. What He's saying is, when you teach your classroom in the Christian school, have the same excitement, the same preparation, and the same zeal that you had the first day you walked in the classroom. What He's saying here is when you preach a sermon after 50 years of preaching, He's saying, I'm supposed to have the same edge, the same excitement, the same zeal, the same enthusiasm that I had 50 years ago when I preached my, first sermon, or 50 years ago, when I preached my first sermon. He's saying the same thing that Ecclesiastes 9:10 says. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. So God said, those little tasks that you have, whatever they are, God said, don't you get weary of doing them well. That's what God is saying. And that's what happens to churches. And that's what happens to marriages. And that's what happens to Christian schools. We do the same thing, but we lose our edge. We lose our excitement. We lose our thrill. That's one reason why the old man's still going up here. I'm as excited this morning as I was 50 years ago. I stood to preach this morning. I had the same thrill and the same delight and the same excitement I had 50 years ago when I stood at the Friendship Baptist Church 10 miles outside of Marshall, Texas on the Carthage Highway and preached for my first time. God is saying that your work at the college and teacher class, don't lose your edge. Don't get weary of giving it your best. And when you head that school out there, don't get weary of getting it your best. Do it like you've always done it. When you have that class and the Bible Club ministry and whatever you do, I don't know what you do here, but whatever you do, and the rescue mission and the choir and pass out these envelopes, stand up quickly so folks can see you. When you visit the sick and when you are assistant pastor of the North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, when you work with the Bible Club ministry, and those people you work with out there, and when you head vice president of Hiles Anderson College, what God is saying is this. He's saying, don't you ever get the place where you do anything but your best, whatever you do. That's what God is saying. Be not weary in well-doing. What you do, do it well. And that's what the same thing the wise man meant, as I said a while ago in Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. What it means is, keep on doing a job right. Don't get weary of excellence. Don't get slipshod or careless or half-hearted in anything that you do. Let me put it down where you live. That means that you ought never lose the edge of being a mother. That means you ought not to ever lose the edge of the fact that you have given birth to a never-dying, ever-living soul. And it's your job to train that child. It's an amazing thing when we have kids. When Becky was born, our oldest daughter, came time for her feeding at night. I got up. It's always been my job to do that. But one of us would get up. One of us would get up. I've forgotten which one now. But it was time to feed her bottle. Now, we didn't have all the modern things we have now, but we went in, we got some milk and poured the milk in a bottle. And then we got some water and put it in a saucepan. And then we got the bottle and put it in the water in the saucepan. And then we sat there until the water began to boil so the water would warm the bottle. And then we'd take the bottle and pour it on our wrist to see if it was just the right temperature. And then we'd sit down and I'd rock. And I'd give her a bottle. And I'd sit there and sing to her. And that's one reason she had the colic for 3 months. I'd sing to her, "Good little girls, don't cry, 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 cry. Good little girls, don't cry, cry, cry. Why don't you be good?" And I'd sing to her and feed her a bottle. Now, it was a 30-minute ordeal to get out of bed and go turn on the stove and fill the water in the saucepan and put the bottle in the water and wait till the water got warm and hot and wait till the hot water warmed the bottle and then sit down and feed it. Now, that's the first one. The fourth child was Cindy. 2 o'clock in the morning, it's time to feed her. We'd get a cold bottle of milk, stick it on a pillow, put it in her mouth, and go back to sleep. I think I've struck some nerves here. And that's why Cindy turned out like she did. Now, what God is saying here is this. He's saying, whatever your task is, whether it's the task of being a mother, don't lose the edge. Don't realize you're supposed to train that child. Don't realize you're supposed to give your best. If you're a wife, that means you're supposed to have the same edge and same love and same affection and same tenderness longer and longer and longer. Don't lose it. And that's what happens to our marriages. We lose the edge. God said, don't be weary. Don't get tired of doing whatever you do. Your best. Do it right. Well doing, if you please. That means if you're a husband, you're supposed to treat that wife with the same tenderness you treated her when you're trying to get her to marry you. Don't get tired of being a good husband. Don't get tired of being a good wife. And by the way, that means your children are not ever supposed to get tired of obeying your parents. Obeying your parents is something you're supposed to do, and the Bible said, do it well. Be not weary in well doing. That means that I'm not supposed to do anything I do slipshod. Are you hearing me? That means if you're a custodian in the First Baptist Church Hammond, this ought to be the cleanest building in America. That means if you teach a Sunday school class in First Baptist Church Hammond, you ought to be more prepared than the Supreme Court is when they call themselves into session, or Congress is, because teaching a Sunday school class in First Baptist Church of Hammond is more important than being a Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. I mean, what happens is this, we just are slipshod. God said, don't you get tired of giving your best at everything you do, for in due season you'll reap if you don't faint. It means I have conducted hundreds of funerals. I've got funeral outlines all over my office. I don't have to prepare for a funeral. But God said, don't ever get weary in giving at least 4 hours in preparing every funeral and making every funeral unique. It means that I have performed hundreds of weddings. And I can think of something to say. I can ad-lib a wedding. I could do it in my sleep. But God says I'm supposed to give my best. After 50 years of conducting weddings, I'm not supposed to lose that edge. It means that if I wanted to, I don't have to carefully prepare a Bible study for Wednesday night. I've been reading that Bible, studying that Bible for over 60 years, and as a preacher for over 52 years, almost 53 years, I know that Bible. I could get up here next Wednesday night and open to any page I want to and start teaching it, and I could teach the Bible, and I think you'd learn something, except there's one thing that would not mean. That would not mean I still have the edge, and so I'm going to study as hard this Wednesday night for this Bible study as I did 50 years ago. Why? I'm not supposed to get weary in doing well what I do. What does it mean? It means I have sermon books and tapes. All I got to do to get me a sermon is go to my office and get... I have a set of Spurgeon sermons. I mean, I don't have any volumes. They're that thick. And I got volumes of them. I haven't opened one in years. But I could. I could just get one of those sermons. In fact, you can buy magazines. Preachers can buy magazines that have your sermons for next Sunday in it. And you'd be shocked how many folks use those things. I know what your preacher boss wants to know. You won't know the name and address of the magazine.
What does it mean? It means after 50 years of being a preacher, I could stand up here and ad lib, but I'm not supposed to do it. I'm supposed to have the same edge, the same zeal, the same excitement, the same thrill I had 50 years ago. That's exactly what it means.
So you taught Sunday school for years. You don't need to study in order to have something to teach. But you need to study in order to obey Galatians 6:9. Don't get tired of giving your best to everything you do. What does it mean? It means your bus route is no big deal. You're going to have 40 people ride your bus route whether you go out or not. But you listen carefully to me. One of these days you're going to stand before Jesus Christ. And you're going to look him in the eyeball and you're going to answer for why you didn't give your best to that bus route. And your Sunday school teachers come dragging in 15 minutes late on Sunday morning are going to answer to God because you didn't give your best to that Sunday school class. And your school teachers who call in sick because you got 99.2 temperature are going to answer to God because you didn't give it your best. And you preacher boys are going to answer to God. And you college teachers are going to answer to God. And the choir members that don't give a flip about choir practice are going to answer to God. What does it mean? It means if you're a member of the choir, First Baptist Church, you're supposed to be here on Thursday night. Well, that silenced a few of you. Now you listen to me. Galatians 6:9 is saying if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And don't you ever get tired of giving your best to whatever you have to do. What does it mean? It means you've been singing specials for years. I like what happened. I like the way Mrs. Burke sang this morning. Now that lady can sing. She could have picked out a song this morning on the way to church. And she could have taken a songbook. I've seen it happen all over America. She could have taken a songbook and flipped it over here to the pianist and said, I'm singing this one. And you wouldn't have known the difference, but he would have known the difference. And you could tell why she sang this morning. She thought Jesus was the sweetest name she knew. She thought he was just the same as his own dear name. And she said, that's the reason why I love him. So she didn't have to prepare. But after all these years of singing solos, she still gets with that pianist or that pianist. And she rehearses and practices. And she gets it just right. Why? Ladies and gentlemen, it so happens this is God's business. What does it mean? It means that I will not get tired of being willing to get tired of doing it right. What does it mean? It means I will not quit being weary of being willing to be weary. What does it mean? I will not get tired of not being too tired to do it right. What does it mean? I will not lose my edge, my excitement, my heart, my attempt at excellence in everything I do. What does it mean? It means I will not get weary of being weary in order to do it right. Now follow me carefully. Be ye not weary. That means don't lose your edge. Always give it your best. In well doing. That doesn't mean, again, it doesn't mean don't get weary of giving out candy to children and giving out food to poor people. It means when you give out food to poor people that you do it well. Be not weary of well doing. Now get this, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. Now, that word faint means this. It simply means hang in there. Let me illustrate. I'm 71 years old. If you don't think I get tighter now than I did when I was 21, then you're as dumb as you look. And that's retardation. Sometimes, Ms. Howes, I'll tell you, sometimes I come home at night, and maybe late at night, and I just sit there and just stare into space for a while. I'm not, I don't mean I'm looking at her. you know what a blonde calls a zebra? Spot. You'll get that at lunchtime today. Okay, so I get tireder, get this now, I get tireder doing my job well than I used to. I'm tireder on Sunday night than I used to be. And tomorrow night, after I preached out in the state of Washington, I'll be tireder than I used to be preaching in the state of Washington. What does it mean? It means as I get older, I get tireder and tireder and tireder, but I'm never supposed to get so tired I don't give it my best. That's what God is saying. What does it mean? It means it'll get harder and harder, but it's never supposed to be too hard for me to give it. Whatever it is. See, you want me to give my best, but you don't give a flip about yours. You come in 15 minutes late for Sunday school, unprepared, you can think of something to say, and one day you're going to stand and look in the face of the Savior who gave His life on the cross to save you and give an answer for why you didn't do your best as a Sunday school teacher. It means that I'm to do it as well, have the same excitement, and keep the same edge as I did when I was at my little, as I was living in our little parsonage on Highway 43, little church next to us, same building out here. And one night, we heard a crash. Some Boy Scouts were having an outing, and they were on the back of a tractor. And the tractor did not have any reflectors or lights on it. Down comes a big old six-wheel truck, something like you guys over here driving. Not as fast as you drive, but it was coming down Highway 43. Tractor didn't see the truck driver didn't see the tractor. And he rammed the back of that tractor that was covered with Boy Scouts. And boys went everywhere. And I stood and conducted my first funeral service. The little Hughes boy, 12 years old, killed on the highway as that big truck had rammed in the back of that tractor. I stood on that platform. I thought I would die. I looked at that little family down here sitting on the front row, and my heart broke. And I said, "Oh God, you've got to help me to comfort this family." 50 years later, a few days ago, I stood right here. Ms. McCarroll's body in a casket. Her family over here. I felt the same thing I felt 50 years ago. One of the best ladies I know, married to one of the best men I know. She's meeting him in heaven. She's living in heaven now. And while she was singing a while ago, "Someday I shall see him face to face." I got to thinking, blessed God, she's seeing him face to face right now. But I stood here with the same compassion and the same edge. Why? At 71, I'm not supposed to be weary of doing right, whatever I do. What does it mean? Means that first wedding I performed at the altar of the Hillcrest Baptist Church. I married my good friend Bob Keyes to Sybil Rusick, scared to death. We're in the room waiting to walk in, and Bob said to me, he called me Jack, we were old high school buddies. He said, "Jack," he said, "I'm real nervous." He said, "I want you to remember, this is the first time I ever got married." And I said, "Bob, if I'm real nervous, I want you to remember this is the first time I've ever conducted a ceremony too." And then he got nervous. I walked out there, and I realized that I was representing Almighty God. And when I pronounced them husband and wife, God saw it as husband and wife. I was consumed. Not only that, was I representing God in uniting this couple, but I was representing as an official of the state of Texas. I was representing the government of Texas, and it'd be official. Why? Because I did it yesterday afternoon. I stood right where I stand, right here, right now, and performed the ceremony for two of our finest young people with the same thrill and the same excitement and the same preparation. Why? Because I'm not supposed to lose the edge of anything that I do. And neither are you. What does it mean? It means that first sermon I mentioned a while ago, first time I ever sat on a platform on a Sunday morning, introduced as the speaker for the morning, all night the night before I prayed God to help me. I walked to that platform with fear and trembling. I was representing God. I was beseeching them in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. I was Jesus' representative.
filling in for Jesus because he's filling in for me at heaven. He's interceding for me, and I was interceding for him. All of a sudden it dawned on me, I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ. It's been over 50 years this morning. I'm still an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I'm sick and tired of Christians doing God's work slipshod.
I'll be flying to Seattle tomorrow morning, God willing. I get on the plane. I sit down. Plane takes off. Pilot comes out. Anybody know where we are? I just don't feel worthy to fly this airplane. Anybody here take hold of these controls up here? I just don't feel worthy. Well, if you don't feel worthy, get out. I'll go up there and give it a shot. Now you listen to me carefully. You know why that pilot's supposed to give his best tomorrow? That pilot's supposed to give his best because he has the lives of several hundred people in his keeping. You think I'm supposed to give it less than he gives it when I've got the lives of several thousand souls in my keeping? It's time you stop to realize whatever you do, it's big league stuff. Be not weary in doing it well. Whatever it is, what does it mean? It means that first day that I was pastor of a Baptist church, 19 members, $7.50 a week salary. I've got more members now, but very little more salary. $7.50 a week salary. I was consumed with the fact that I was pastor of a Baptist church. I went out and got me a little can of paint and a little watercolor brush and painted my name out on the sign, Jack Hiles, pastor. Misspelled the word pastor. Spelled it P-A-S-T-E-R. Wrote me a letter and mailed it to myself so my postman would know I was a preacher. Pastor Jack Hiles, 2007 North Franklin Street. It's been 50 years, over 50 years, since that day. What does it mean? It means I'm supposed to have the same excitement and thrill because I pastor a New Testament church that I had. And that means if your job is to clean this place out or take the offering or teach a Sunday school class or be a Sunday school department or superintendent, or if your job is to work on a bus route, or if your job is to be a PA man or play the organ or play the piano, what it means is you're not ever supposed to get tired of giving it all you've got. That's what it means. Don't get tired of doing it right and doing it well. Now let me finish. I did not say how long it'll take to finish. But let me finish. Be you not weary. Don't lose your edge. Don't get tired. Don't lose your excitement. In well doing. In doing well whatever you do. By the way, that means your pupils in school are supposed to give it your best as students. Or in due season you shall reap, if you faint not, or if you hang in there. The title of this sermon is, Hanging There is Why I'm Here. Hanging there is why I'm here. You know why I'm standing here today? Because I hang in there. You know why I'm still going strong at 71 when there's no other 71-year-old preacher in a church anywhere near this size in the whole world today? You know why I'm still here? Because I hang in there. You know why my name's still on the letterhead? Because I hang in there. My life has been threatened. I've been shot at. Contracts on my life. Attack after attack. Burden after burden. Heartache after heartache. But bless God, the old man is still up here. They put my obituary in many a paper and I got there and found the corpse wasn't in the casket. You know why? That's exactly why. It may be that I can't preach as well as anybody else, somebody else, but I can hang in there as well as anybody. It may be I may not can teach as well as anybody else, bless God, I can hang in there, and that's something you can do. What it says is this, you keep on hanging in there and doing your best as long as you have a job to do. That's what God is saying. Now why, after 50 years of the same old stuff, you can talk to anybody I counsel with, all the way from the first one to Mrs. Walter Polk in the office and asked me for some counsel, and I didn't know what the name, the word counsel meant. I sent my secretary back in the back room to get some counsel because Mrs. Walter wanted some. My secretary went back and got a sack of something, brought it in, and I said, "What's that?" She says, "Counsel." I didn't know. She said, "Miss Walter wants some advice." I stepped there and realized that I was advising that dear older lady, 88 years of age. I was giving her things that would affect her life. I was holding destinies and decisions of her future in my hands. And up to the last night, you asked the couple of counsel with last night, or yesterday, many people, I entered into their lives. I gave it all I had. Why? I don't want to lose my burden for my people after all these years. I don't want to lose my desire to counsel my best and to teach my best and to preach my best and to conduct weddings and do my best and funerals and do my best. Whatever my hand finds to do, I am commanded by my great general in the sky to do it with all my might. Now why? Number one, and I just read these. One, I realize for whom I work. I constantly remind myself I'm working for the Creator of the universe. How dare you? How dare you teach a Sunday school class, be a deacon, sing in the choir? How dare you have a job representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the Savior she sang about a while ago? How dare you do it and not give your best? Be you not weary of doing it well? Whatever it is, I realize for whom I work. Number two, I realize just what is my work. My work's eternal. You understand this morning, if somebody walks down the aisle and gets saved, that they're going to escape the fires of hell forever? You understand that? You understand those folks that walk the aisle after a while to receive Christ as Savior? You understand that they're going to walk on golden streets and walk through gates of pearl and live with Christ in a place where there's no disease, no sickness, no heartache, no heartbreak, no death, no tears, no sorrow, no sadness, no broken hearts, no broken homes, no broken dreams, no broken lives. Forever! I'm trying to tell you one reason why I'm supposed to give it my best, and so are you, for whom I work and then what my work is. Number three, I must give it my best because I do not have long to do it. In just a few months, I'll be 72. How much longer I've got to do, I don't know. But I tell you what, the Bible says, work for the night cometh. I must give it my best. This may be the last sermon I'll preach, I don't know. So I must give it my best. I certainly will give it, not give it less than I gave it when I first began preaching. See, some of you preacher boys, you preach because it's fun. I preach because it's life and death. I do it because I realize for whom I work and what my work is. And not long to work. In closing, I realize the reward that I'll receive for doing it. One day, I'm going to stand before Jesus. And He's going to ask me, or tell me, whether I did my best yesterday afternoon at that wedding or not. He's going to tell me or ask me whether I gave my best at Ms. McCarroll's funeral and every other funeral. He's going to ask me whether I gave my best when I taught my Sunday school class this morning. He's going to ask me if I gave my best. And by the way, if I have given my best, the Bible says it's going to give me crowns. Oh, you say, "Boy, I've always wanted a crown." No, you don't understand it. Listen carefully and I'll be through. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4 that we'll receive crowns. And then it says we'll take those crowns off and hurl those crowns at Jesus' feet and sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and glory and majesty and honor." Bless God, I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand there without any crowns to throw at His feet. I want to say, "Jesus, I couldn't preach as well as R.G. Lee, or teach as well as John Rice, or lead as well as Lee Robertson. But I hung in there. I did the best I could. I didn't do as well as others, but did the best I could. And then Jesus will give me a crown of faithfulness, of soul winning, of suffering for Him. The Bible says I'll take those crowns and I'll hurl them at Jesus' feet. I want to have some to give Him. I want to have some to throw to Him. And so until I see Him, I'm not going to be weary in well-doing. I'm going to hang in there. When I walk out that door every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I want to have the same edge I had 50 years ago. When I stand here and somebody that I love dearly and some people I love dearly are here and perform a funeral service, conduct a funeral service, I want to give it the very best I have. When I stand up here that yesterday afternoon and perform a wedding for a fine young couple, I want them to have the most beautiful wedding as possible for two young people to have. Because I do not want to be weary of doing it well, whatever I do. Ask your question. What's your job? Huh? Hey, what's your job? What job do you have, mother, father, son, daughter, Sunday school teacher, choir member, deacon, Christian school teacher, custodian, PA, instruments, sing specials? What job do you have? Whatever it is, don't you ever lose the edge of doing it right. And that's what the apostle meant when he gave us the words that were eternal in the sky. Be ye not weary in well doing. For in due season, you shall reap if you hang in there. Would you bow your heads, please?